I wonder tonight how many of you really do believe. You know, when you talk about believing, that's a great thing. A lot of times we say that we believe, but when it comes to really believing, that's a different thing altogether. You know, it's so easy to say that you believe, so easy to use the terms, I am a believer. But when it really comes to using your faith, it's different. It's so different, especially when the crisis comes. It's wonderful to have you with us tonight. We appreciate you being out here with us tonight. Praise the Lord for you. And we count it a real privilege to be here ourselves. Appreciate Mr. Paul coming night after night to be with us. And I'm always glad to say that I appreciate his kind generosity in letting us have this building. Appreciate seeing our brother from Woolworth being here with us tonight. And the others that are here, there's some here that a lot of times I don't make mention of you. Maybe I don't see you, but we appreciate having you here. People coming up from Macon, Georgia last night. There was a busload of people that came in from Macon, Georgia last night. And we appreciate them being here with us last night. Got people that come down from Marysville, Tennessee, that's here tonight. We appreciate them being here. People from Humboldt, Tennessee, different places. We appreciate you coming to be with us. I see Brother Tony Mullis out here with us tonight. We certainly appreciate Tony being here with us tonight. I always appreciate the ministry, especially if they come to be with us, because they have to leave off what they're doing to be able to come to be with us, and I think that's wonderful. Now then, you can be seated, and I want to read to you just a little bit and talk to you about the wonderful things of Jesus. You know, I'm one of those excited preachers. I got excited when I got born again, and I've never quit being excited. I am altogether excited. It is a great excitement to me to be a Christian. I've never lost my first love for God. I've never lost my zeal. And I'm excited about this whole thing. Reading from the book of St. John, the 11th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. The 19th verse, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus, when he was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, For he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. I want to read right here in the 25th verse again. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, I appreciate, as I said, you being with us. We thank the Lord for every one of you. And it is my privilege to be here and talk to the people of God. I always count it a great privilege to be here and speak to God's people. And we're looking forward to the Lord giving us a great, wonderful outpouring of His Spirit and blessings as we preach the gospel around the world. The Lord has wonderfully blessed us as we've been into different countries, into South America and Central America, into Europe, and into the foreign fields. He's blessed us. He's blessed us on the home front across the United States. And God is continuing to bless us, and we're grateful. We're thankful that we're able to get into the foreign languages that Brother Mitch made mention of tonight, because our heart is in reaching people in their own language. It is so wonderful to be able to communicate with people in their own language. We're thankful for every phase of the gospel that the Lord has blessed us in. It is such a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I don't know of anything better than being a Christian. If I did, Ed, I would go do that rather than be a Christian. If I knowed anything better than being a Christian, then I would leave off with being a Christian and I would go do that, because that would be the thing that I would want to do. But I don't know of anything better than being a Christian, so then I just continue day after day to be a Christian. I think being a Christian is the grandest, most wonderful thing that ever happened to mankind. It's the greatest privilege that God ever offered to mankind. So then tonight, I am thankful that I am a Christian. I'm glad that I have the privilege to stand before people day after day and year after year and tell them about the wonderful, magnificent glory of our Savior, of a risen Christ, of a real, true, and a living God. It breaks my heart a lot of times to go into the heathenistic places like Haiti and the different places of the foreign fields like South America. When I go there and I see the people that are bound with heathenism, and I see the fears and frustration, the anxiety, and I see the hopelessness that's in their heart. And I realize that they don't have any hope for tomorrow. They don't have any hope for life, because many of them don't know the true and the living God. Many of them are paganistic. They worship stone and they worship wood. They worship ideas. They've conceived thoughts in their minds, and they are in bondages to these thoughts. And it makes me feel real bad when I go into these places and I see these things. And my heart is enlarged toward those people. And I just want to reach out and do something for them. And my heart bleeds, because I know that they need help. And I know that they're searching just like everybody else, looking for a true and a living God. And I realize that here in America, that people are just shunning the presence of God. And they're turning away from the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God and the blessings of God is all around them, but they're more interested in the materialistic values of life than they are the things of God here in America. And it breaks my heart to know that people here are so wrapped up in the materialistic side of life, and to know that their evaluation is so improper to the right things. So then tonight, when I stand here to talk to you, I'd like for this building to be filled up, but it's not. I've got you here to preach to, and the crowd looks like it's a little bit off from last night. But nevertheless, I've got you to preach to tonight, and that's what's important. Sometimes we have a crowd, sometimes we don't have a crowd. But whatever we have, that's the ones that God gives us to preach to, and that's the ones that we want to preach to. So tonight we want to talk to you about Jesus, and we want to tell you about the love of God. We want to tell you about the resurrection and about the life, about this wonderful Savior that we are acquainted with. God is so good to us. God loves you and God loves me. God wants to do for you the same thing that He wants to do for me. He's no respecter person. He loves you just as much as He loves me. He wants to do for you just exactly what He would do for me. And He's done a lot of things for me. He's blessed me in a great, wonderful way. And He wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to do the same thing for those people in those heathen countries that He's done for America so far as the blessings of God. He wants them to have plenty. He wants them to have the knowledge of the true and the living God, just like He wants you and I to have it. You know, we as people, sometimes we have a tendency to feel that we're so much better than others, and our evaluation is so improper. You know, we evaluate according to dollars and cents, according to education, and according to prestige, and according to position. But God doesn't evaluate that way. God evaluates according to the Spirit. You weighed in the balances and found wanting according to the Spirit. And so then God wants them that are yonder over in the foreign fields to have just as much as we over here in America who feel so self-sufficient. Not too long ago in Haiti's, around a couple of thousand people gathered there as we preached the gospel to them. Their eyes were enlightened, their hearts were enlarged. And as we prayed for the sick, the people literally run to the altar for us to pray for them. And they pushed over each other and perspiring and me perspiring and just fighting to get to them and them to get to me. Just hundreds of people just pushing till they had to hold the people off to be able to pray for them. But here in America, we are complacent. Here in America, we don't have any perseverance. We don't have any drive. We don't have any stimulation. We don't have any burning vision for God. We become complacent and we've taken, as the world says, God for granted that He's our God and everything is all right. But did you know that's the same thing that happened to the Jewish people just before God withdrew from them? It's the same identical thing that happened to the Jewish people just before God withdrew from them. Anytime a people takes God, as we say, for granted, God is beginning to get ready to withdraw from them, because God is the God that's going to have praise and honor and glory from me and from you. And if we don't give it to Him, God is going to find the people that will give Him praise and will give Him honor and will give Him glory. And God is just on the verge of withdrawing right now from the American people and turning back to the Jewish people. Or that is, from the Gentile people going back to the Jewish people. God is on the verge of leaving the Gentiles to their own way of life and to do their own thing. And He is on the verge of turning back to Israel, the one that has been forsaken all of these years, that's been grieved in spirit because God withdrew from them. The Jews, just before God withdrew from them, begin to get complacent. They begin to take God for granted. They begin to say He's our God and the rest of the world is a bunch of dogs. Isn't that right? But one day God brought about something called Pentecost. And the great Holy Spirit on that day began to move, and the abundance of God's glory began to be poured out. And all of a sudden they heard Him speak with their own tongue, their own native tongue wherein they were born. And God, inasmuch as said, I love you and I love you and I love you, and I can speak your language too. And you're my creation too, and you're my people too. I'm not bound to one people, but I'm the God of the universe. I'm the God of all creation. Hallelujah. I've created all mankind for my own glory. All things was created by me and for me and for my glory and for my pleasure were they created. And so then God began to let the Jewish people know that other people wasn't dogs, that they were God's creation as well as the Jewish people. And so then God withdrew from them. God withdrew from them, left them alone by themselves. And here we are tonight, the Gentile peoples having benefited by it. Here we are down at the end of the church ages. Here we are at the close of the age. And all of a sudden we're made to realize that the same God is beginning to be angry with the Gentile people. Things are beginning to happen. Wrecks on the highways. Epidemics. Earthquakes such as we've never known before. Hurricanes and everything moving through the land. People's nerves breaking down, insanity, cancer, all kind of sicknesses. The hospitals are not large enough anymore. The insane asylums are not big enough. They're not adequate for the purpose anymore. The doctors, there's not enough doctors to take care of the sick anymore. What is it? It's because God's spirit is beginning to withdraw from the Gentile people. God is tired of our foolishness, folks. God is tired of our foolishness. God is tired of us playing religion and joining churches. God doesn't want us joining churches and playing religion. God would rather stay out of the churches, get away from the churches, stay away from denominationalism, get away from religion, and go out there in the world and be cold and do your thing as the world says, than to get in there and be lukewarm. God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You get to be a religious proselyte and you stand at the door and you won't go in, and everybody else that's coming, you hinder them. God said, away from me, you that are more holy than thou. That's what happened to the Jewish people. That's what happened to the Jewish people. They got to where they felt real clean in their own eyes. Solomon one time made the statement. He said, there is a people that's clean in their own eyes. He said, but they've never been washed from their filth. He said, they're clean in their own eyes, but they've never been washed from their filth, Solomon said. What the world needs today is to be washed from their filth. Like somebody said a few days ago to an individual, said, I think what they're trying to do is brainwash you. They said, what do you think about that, Brother Pike? I said, I think it's a good idea. The world needs a brainwashing. That's what they need. They've got their brain dirty. They've let the devil in and they got their brain dirty and they need a brainwashing. God needs to wash them up, clean them up. By the washing of regeneration, he saves us. And he needs to wash our heart and our soul and our mind and our brain. He told Peter, he said, unless I wash you, you're not clean. I don't have any part with you. It wouldn't hurt if some of us did have a good brainwashing. I think we'd be better people. Hallelujah. All right, so then as long as we got the right kind of water and we're doing the right kind of thing and we're washing it in the right kind of way, that's all right, isn't it? That's all right. There's a generation, the Bible said, that they're not washed from their filth. They're clean in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filth. They need a good brainwashing. They need the Spirit of God to move. Now, I know in washing your brain, that's not going to do it. You know, if you get up here and wash it this way. But if you get down here in the heart and you wash it this way, that'll take care of the brain up here. And you'll have a clean brain. And you'll think clean thoughts and everything will be all right. Can you say amen? Praise God. So then tonight, it's a wonderful privilege to talk about this Jesus and the wonderful things that Christ is doing throughout the world tonight. Ain't you glad tonight that you're a part of what God's doing? I think about this little story tonight. When Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, died, Jesus had a friend as long as Lazarus lived. You know, I remember Abraham, and God said, Abraham is my friend. Abraham was called the friend of God, and Lazarus was like Abraham was. Lazarus was a friend to Jesus and to God, isn't that right? He was a friend, and when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. Many times Jesus as a man would resort over to Lazarus' home. I've been there, and I stood up there on the
Mount where Jesus prayed there in the Holy Land. I'm sure others here have been there too. And I've looked down the little trail, looked down through the valley there, and I've seen where Jesus many times would come across the valley of Kidron, go up over this little place where he prayed and tarry there through the night. And then on over the hill, he would move right on down to get down to Bethany over there to get down to Lazarus's house. And he would go over there and he would have a friend that he could talk to and somebody that he could refresh himself with. And that same Mary, you remember the Mary that got down and washed his feet and dried his feet with her hair, washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. That same Mary, the Mary that was sister to Lazarus, that same Mary Jesus spoke to at the tomb, that same Mary that sat at his feet, that same Mary that Jesus spoke to and said, "You've chosen the better part." Martha said, "Why don't you make her help me do some of these natural things in life?" You know, everybody wants to do natural things in life, and it's good that some people do some natural things in life. Some people are just plain lazy and they need a mind to work. They need to do a few natural things. You know, to work for God, you got to do a few natural things. Noah working for God had to build an ark, isn't that right? But a lot of times we get carried away on the natural things and we're not doing them for God. And Martha said, "Why don't you make Mary help me?" And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about a lot of things. But Mary has chosen the better part, that part that won't be taken away from her." In other words, Jesus said to Martha, "You're doing a lot of things. And the things you're doing are important and they are a benefit to you. But I want you to know one thing, everything that you're doing is going to perish. Every dollar you make is going to be taken away from you. Every house you build is going to crumble. Everything that you purchase in this world is going to come to naught. But Mary is getting a spiritual treasure. Mary is getting something spiritual, something that won't be taken away from her. Mary is getting something down in her heart. She's getting eternal life. She's getting that one thing that everybody needs. Isn't that right? What do we need tonight? We need life tonight, folks. That's what we need tonight. We need life. Why is it that the world spends all of their time and all of their money searching for life, seek to try to save life? Because they've learned that life is the number one thing. Life is the number one thing. Have all you want to. Have your millions if you want to. Have your cars, your automobiles, your houses, your land, your prestige. Have your titles. Have your positions. Have your convenience. But brother, when time to die comes, see if it's going to do you any good. See if you're going to be able to stay with it. You know, I've said this a lot of times because it's a consoling thought to me. I'm going to own everything. And if you don't live for God, you're going to lose everything. You know, who will everything belong to? It's going to belong to me. Because I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. It's going to belong to me. You say, "But Brother Pike, it belongs to me." Did you know that all of this world belongs to me? Everything in this world belongs to me. The world, the earth, and the fullness thereof belongs to me, Jesus said. All things are yours. And you belong to Christ Jesus. You say, "But Brother Pike, these things belong to me." No, they belong to me because you're going to die and I'm going to live on and on. I'm going to outlive you. And when they put you away, I'm still going to be around here and they're still going to belong to me. See, if I outlive you, then they're going to belong to me. If I outlive the millionaire, then it's going to belong to me. Isn't that right? If I outlive the rich, then it's going to belong to me. All of them going to be planted in the earth, done away with, but I'm going to live on and on. And the song said, "And I'll live on and on." Hallelujah. Throughout eternity, I'll live on. Through eternal ages, I'll live on. So it's all going to belong to me. Now, I'll tell you what, I'll be willing to share it with you. If you want me to divide it with you, I'm not stingy. I'll share it with you. If you're willing to do the same thing that I want to do and go the same thing that I want to, same way that I want to go, be the same thing that I want to be, I'll share it with you and we'll divide it. Because you can live on and two. But if you don't go the way that I go and do the thing that I do and say the thing that I say, you can't live on and on. Somebody would say, "Wait a minute now, Brother Pine. There's all kinds of religions in the world. What makes you think yours is the only one?" Brother, there's all kind of religions in the world, but there ain't but one word of God. There ain't but one salvation. There ain't but one Jesus. There ain't but one way, and I got that way. And if you don't go that way, you're going to be left behind. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. So then tonight, there is the way. There is a generation that in their own eyes they're clean, but they've not been washed from their filth. There is the way that seemeth right unto man. But the Bible said the ways thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the vine. Ye are the branches. As long as you abide in me, you can bring forth fruit. But he said, if you don't abide in me, he said, you'll be cut off and you'll wither up and you won't bring forth any more fruit. Isn't that right? So then tonight, this is the right way, folks. There is a way in there is a way called holiness, a highway. And the way called holiness in the Bible said no unclean thing shall walk therein. How many of you know tonight God is the spirit of holiness? How do you know that God is the spirit of holiness tonight? Did you know the Pope has got enough sense to know that God is the spirit of holiness? Isn't that right? There's a lot of religions in the world that don't believe in holiness. But the Pope of Rome's even got enough sense to know that God is the spirit of holiness. They even call him Mr. Holiness or his holiness. Isn't that right? God is the spirit of holiness. Paul said he's the God whom I serve with my spirit. And the Bible said, without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. For there is a highway, but there's a way called holiness, and no unclean thing is going to walk thereon. God is the spirit of life. He's the spirit of holiness, and he's the spirit of life. And brother, if you don't have the spirit of holiness, you don't have the spirit of life. Let me say something to you tonight, and I want you to think it over. You know, we was talking about some of these very things over the evening. A lot of people think that they've got God because they are a believer. But I want you to know tonight, because you are a believer, that don't mean that you got salvation. Are you listening to me? I said, just because you shake the preacher's hand and because you say that you're a believer, that don't mean you got salvation. You say, but Brother Pike, if I am a believer, then I've got salvation. If you believe in God, it doesn't mean you got salvation. You might be a believer and believe in God, but that don't mean you got salvation. That has nothing to do with salvation. Just because you believe, the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. The devil doesn't have salvation. Isn't that right? If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil does that too, but that didn't give him the spirit of God, did it? You know what you got to do? You got to do more than believe. You've got to have God's spirit. The Bible said, if you have not God's spirit, you're none of God's. You say, what kind of spirit is that, Brother Pike? The spirit of holiness. God is the spirit of holiness. If you've got the spirit of holiness on the inside of you, you've got eternal life. You've got God. If you haven't got the spirit of holiness on the inside of you, you haven't got God. If you haven't got God, you haven't got life. Because he's the only life there is, my brother, sister. Being a believer is not sufficient. Paul met him at the 19th chapter of Acts at the upper coast of Ephesus. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, well, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. He said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And the Bible said, when he heard this, they rebaptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they received the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with tongues and prophesy when the great Holy Spirit came into them. You know, I made the statement a number of years ago. I said, if you'll watch, I said, the Baptists will start getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Methodists will start getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, the Catholics will start getting filled with the Holy Ghost. The Presbyterians will start getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And by that time, it'll encourage the Pentecostals, and they'll feel like they need the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. You know, a lot of Pentecostals feel like they got a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. Have you ever noticed that? They feel like they got the Holy Ghost and nobody else has got it. They get like the Jews. They get self-righteous. And they feel like, well, we've got the Spirit and everybody else is a bunch of dogs. But I want you to know tonight it isn't that way at all. Glory to God, there's some good Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostals. Did you know that? But there's some good Holy Ghost-filled Baptists. Did you know that? And there's some good Holy Ghost-filled Methodists too. Did you know that? And there's some good Holy Ghost-filled Catholic. Can you believe that? Praise God, I know they are because I've seen them converted to God and filled with the Holy Ghost. Last night we had a priest here that was testifying to being baptized in the name of the Lord, and he's seeking the Holy Ghost. He came up the other night and the Holy Ghost was really moving, and the Holy Ghost fell upon him. He was about to get the Holy Ghost and he froze up like that. And I told him after service, I said, "Man," I said, "the Holy Ghost was moving on you." He said, "I know it," said, "it scared me." I said, "Don't you never stop and fight the Holy Ghost no more." I said, "When the Holy Ghost comes, you let him in." Folks, that's what we need, is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You say, "Who is this Holy Ghost?" They said, "Well, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. Who is this Holy Ghost?" There ain't never been but one ghost, Holyhead. That's Jesus Christ. Did you know that? That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit that dwelt in the body of the Son of God. That's the only Holy Ghost there's ever been. Did you know that? And I'll tell you one thing, if you ever take him into your heart, your ghost will be holy too. You'll get holy too. If you get the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you'll get holy too, because the Bible said he is the Spirit of holiness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then, there was Lazarus, a friend, a real friend. And Jesus, tired, weary, preaching, fasting, praying all night long in the Garden of Gethsemane. A lot of time, perhaps, he would stagger over to the little place where Lazarus was, weary and tired. And there he'd stagger over there, and I'm sure that Lazarus must come up, you know, and say, "Jesus, I love you. Is there anything I can do to comfort you? You look tired and you look weary." And Mary, she would take her place right at the feet of Jesus, and she would say, "Jesus, tell me some more about this wonderful way of life." Oh, he had a friend. But one day while he was on a journey, and one day while he was away, something happened to this wonderful man called Lazarus. And Lazarus took sick, and they came and told Jesus. They said, "Jesus," said, "he that you love," said, "he's sick." But Jesus made no haste to get to where he was at. He just waited. He tarried a little bit longer. As he tarried just a little bit longer, he waited to give him time to die. To give him time to die. And so then when Lazarus died, Jesus came forth. And they said, "Oh Lord, where have you been?" Said, "My brother is dead." Oh, Martha, she was crying, and Mary was crying. And they said, "Lord, where have you been? Why didn't you come? We thought you were our friend. We needed you." "We still believe you're our friend. But if you'd have come, you could have saved the life of our brother. You could have saved the life of our brother." Jesus said, "Don't be so tore up over it. Everything's going to be all right." You know, we sing that song, "Everything's going to be all right." Jesus said, "Now don't fret yourself. Don't be all tore up. Everything's going to be all right, Martha." Mary said, "Well, your brother, he's going to live again." Said, "He's going to rise." They said, "Lord, we're not doubters. We're believers. We know at the last day that he's going to rise. We've got confidence. Lord, we're holding to that great promise. Some of these days, our brother's going to come back. We're all going to be together again." And oh, you know, that must have tore Jesus up. Don't you know that must have tore Jesus up? There he stood, God incarnate in the human body, the fullness of God himself standing upon the earth, standing there knowing all he had to do was speak, and every dead person in the earth would come out. That's all he had to do. He just could speak, and every dead person in the earth would have come out. And there he stood, the great and the mighty Jehovah, the judge of all the earth, Abraham called him. The great I am. There he stood talking to a little human being like Mary and Martha. And they didn't know, and they didn't understand. Oh, if they had known his greatness, if they had known who he really was, they would have shook like a leaf in a windstorm just being in his presence. But there he was, just a man, tired, weary, standing with them. What a beautiful sight. Our God, Jehovah, walking on earth to be just like you, so that he could feel your infirmities, to be a high priest in your behalf that could be touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Our Jesus walking in a human body. And there he stood talking to Mary and Martha. And they said, "Lord," said, "we know everything's going to be all right. We've got confidence. We're just tore up because he's dead." And the Bible said Jesus groaned in his spirit. He groaned in his spirit as the great, wonderful Holy Ghost moved on the inside. That great spirit began to groan on the inside. The Bible said he maketh intercession with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. A lot of times we'll cry and we'll moan. And we're tore up and we say, oh God, can't you help us? And he's waiting for just a little bit of faith, just a little spark of faith, just a little radiance of faith to where he can move in and do something for us. And we say, oh God, will you do this? God, can you do that? Will you help us, Jesus? And there the Holy Spirit on the inside wanting to help us in our infirmities. He'll groan because we put him in bondage with our unbelief. And he'll groan on the inside. That great mighty power of God on the inside, groaning and looking, just waiting just for one little spark of faith to where he can release himself like a great and a mighty dynamo to do whatever we want done in our lives. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the great Spirit of God on the inside, it moaned. Jesus groaned in his spirit. He groaned in his spirit. What was it? That spirit knew what was going to happen. And Jesus never said, Father, will you do this? He never said, Father, will you do that? Why? Because he himself gave the commission to the ministry. He himself gave the commission to the sons of God. He was the one that said, you go and heal the sick. Jesus said that, you go heal the sick. He said, you go heal the sick. He said, you go raise the dead. You go do it. He said, you go forgive them people's sins. He said, you go forgive them people's sins. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on this earth, I will bind it in heaven, he said. Whatever you loose on this earth, I will loose it in heaven. Hallelujah. He said, you heal the sick and you raise the dead. Oh, they said, Lord, we know that our brother is going to live again in that great day. We know that when the resurrection comes, he's going to live again. Jesus said, Martha, Mary, I am the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. You don't have to wait. I'm the resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Ain't you glad tonight that you know that Jesus is the resurrection? The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in that first resurrection over which the second death hath no power. Ain't you glad you're in that first resurrection tonight? Jesus said, Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm the life. Lord, we know he's going to live again one day. Jesus said, Lazarus, come out of there. Have you ever been over there to that tomb? I've been over there to that tomb, and I've been down in there where Lazarus was. You go way down a flight of steps and around the corner and back this way. And I'll tell you what, you couldn't even hardly hear him holler from where he was at out there if you'd have been down there and been alive. But Jesus screamed out and he said, Lazarus, come out of that place. Praise God, and here come a man. Now you're talking about a resurrection. I'll tell you what, if I'd have been standing around there in doubt and it had resurrected me, when that man come walking out of that tomb and he was all wrapped up and bound up in those claws, and here he come walking out like some kind of mummy. Don't you know it half scared some of them people to death? You talking about a resurrection. If God hadn't been merciful, I tell you what, he would have had to resurrect it about two or three more around there, don't you reckon? Because it would have scared them slapped to death if God hadn't been merciful. Something like that would scare a fella slapped to death. Knowing that he's been dead 3 or 4 days, and here he comes walking out of a tomb and he's all bound up like that. If it'd been anybody else around looking like that, you know, especially me, I tell you right now, if I'd have been there and hadn't known God, he'd have had to resurrect me because I'd have had a heart attack. When he come out of that grave, I would literally have had a heart attack. I would have, I'm honest about it. Maybe you fellas wouldn't have, but I would have. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the way. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you are living and if you believe in me, you shall never die, Jesus said. If you are alive and you believe in me, you don't have to die, Jesus said. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep, said Lazarus is asleep. I go to awaken him. But said, I've got a revelation. Paul said, I've got a revelation. We all don't have to sleep. If we can learn that he's the resurrection and he's the life, we don't have to sleep. We don't have to be put in a hole. They don't have to throw the dirt in our face. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. Oh, Martha, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And here we are tonight. Do you have the resurrection on the inside of you? Do you have the resurrection on the inside of you tonight? I've got the resurrection on the inside of me. Have you got it on the inside of you tonight? Brother, if you've got the resurrection on the inside of you, you don't have to sleep in the dirt. You don't have to sleep in the dirt. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. Yes, I do believe that, or I wouldn't be preaching it tonight. You say, but everybody has to die. Then why didn't Enoch die? Why didn't Enoch die? Why didn't Enoch die? The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. I'm going to say this and I'll probably get a rebound out of it. I've said it a lot of times. Some of you here understand, some of you don't. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, Enoch's going to have to die. He's going to have to come back and die. I don't say this to be smart or arrogant or whatever, but as a truth, I say it according to the Word of God. I'd like for you to show it to me. You can't prove it in the Bible. There ain't no such proof. You say, but Brother Pike, someday Enoch's going to come back and die. Where do you read it in the Bible? I say this and I still stand by it. If Enoch comes back and dies, if Enoch comes back and dies a natural death, if Enoch has to come back in this world and dies, I'll throw my Bible away. I'll quit preaching if there's any time left. And if you can prove to me now that he has to come back and die, I'll still throw my Bible away and still quit preaching. You say, but now wait a minute, Brother Pike. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. I know that. I know that, and I praise God because I died and then came the judgment and I was resurrected. For the Bible said God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. I am the resurrection. Is that right? Hallelujah. He heard the groaning of the prisoners and he loosed them that was appointed unto death. Isn't that right? And Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As men has been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, reckon yourselves then to be dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and alive unto God by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. You love the Lord? What does the Bible tell us? Does it say that Enoch has to come back and die? Now listen, it said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. Are you listening? I said it said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. If he comes back and he sees death, then the scripture is broken. And the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. It said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. That he should not see death. Now I say this and I believe this. I believe that Moses will come back and die. I believe Elijah will come back and die. You say, why do you believe that they will come back and die? Because both of them were in the dispensation of the law. And the appointment unto death was under the law. And I believe that they'll come back and they'll die. I believe that. And I believe the two prophets over in Revelation that was killed that lay in the street for those 3 days over there. I believe that it's Moses and I believe that it's Elijah. You say, but Brother Pike, Moses is dead. Then where is his body? Where is his body? Like I said over in the Carolinas, I was talking to a Bible scholar. I said, where is his body? They can't find his body. Say, well, you don't know where he's at. Yes, I do know where he's at. The Bible said he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and with Jesus. That's where his body was. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, he was in the spirit. What makes you think he was in the spirit when Jesus was in his own body? When Elijah was carried away in that fire chariot in his own body? What makes you think Moses was standing there and didn't have a body? Read it in the Bible. The Bible says that as the writer caught the vision, looking back down through the pages of time, he said, I saw these angels. I saw the battle over Moses' body. He said, I heard the angel of God say, Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. When they disputed over the body of Moses, not over the spirit of Moses, not over the soul of Moses, over the body of Moses. Death reached out to get the body of Moses, but he'd done been on that mountain too long. 40 days of fasting, 40 days without water, 40 more days of fasting, 40 more days without water. And when the angel of death reached out to get the body of Moses, the angel of God said, Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. He couldn't get a hold of it. Glory to God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all sleep. There they stood on the great mount of God. Moses standing there showing those dead saints, as we say. Looking there at Jesus and him showing those living saints, and Elijah showing them translated saints, all standing there together on that mount of transfiguration. Oh, you know, I wished I had time to preach tonight. Every time I get, you know, I get this thing in my hand, I get to wishing I had time to preach. You know, Paul went all night long trying to find enough time to preach. Let me say just a few more things and I'm going to close, folks. Just a few more things here. Is it possible? Is it at all possible? Is it at all possible, children of God, that perhaps tonight, that here in this very arena tonight, in this very audience here tonight, that there is somebody that is eternal in this audience tonight? Is it possible that there could be some kings in this audience tonight? In that the Bible said God has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. Is it possible that there could be some kings tonight? In that the Bible said he's the King of Kings. And in that the Bible said there was 24 elders around his throne that was kings. Is it possible there might be some kings here? He said they'll have ruler over 5 cities and 10 cities. And the kings of the earth shall bring their honor and their glory into that city. And the Bible said those kings cast their crowns down at his feet. Is it possible there can be some lords in here tonight? Is it possible there can be some lords in here tonight? In that he's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. Is it possible tonight? Now, is it possible that there's some people in here tonight that might be eternal? You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me? I'm asking you, is it possible? Somebody would say that, Brother Pike, you mean there could be somebody here that isn't going to taste of death, living here in their body, living here in their fleshly body? Living here in their fleshly body, could it be possible that somebody might be down here like that? Could it be somebody, could this generation, could it be possible that maybe this generation going to see the coming of our Lord? Is that at all possible? Are you listening to me tonight now? Is that possible tonight? Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Is it possible? Can you look beyond the veil? Can you see what's going on? Can you know what God is doing? Oh, can you, my brother, sister? Can you know what's going on? Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Glory to God. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. You can do it. You can look beyond the veil. You can get a peek beyond the veil like Jesus did. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that a man can stand on this earth right here and still be eternal? I tell you what, let's just take a little trip for just a minute. Here comes a man by night by the name of Nicodemus, and he comes over to Jesus, and he begins to talk with Jesus, and he begins to ask him questions. And Jesus said, look, are you a ruler and you don't know about these things? Are you supposed to be a ruler and you don't understand about these things? And now listen to the boldness of the Son of God. Here he stands now, every bit of man, Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. The children, partakers of blood, partakers of flesh, he came down. He partook of the same. There he stands, Jesus the man. Jesus the man. And here comes another man talking to him. And Jesus looks at him, and Jesus said, now look. Said, let me tell you something. Said, no man has ever been up yonder. No man has ever ascended into heaven but the Son of Man. No man's ever ascended into heaven but the Son of Man. He said, that same Son of Man that came down from heaven. And then is when he shook Nicodemus on his rockers, as we say. He said, Nicodemus, and that Son of Man which is in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. He said, Nicodemus, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Don't you know that when Nicodemus heard that, he was just about to ready to fall over. He listened at that man and he said, I've been up to heaven, Nicodemus, and I've came down from heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. But there he was standing on the earth now. Oh, that's why I said I wish we had time to preach tonight. There he was standing on the earth, brother, sister. There he was standing on the earth, but he witnessed before God that he was in heaven. He was in heaven. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, you have to die before you can ever get into heaven. Now, let me ask you, have you got a few minutes to reason with me tonight? The Bible said, come and let us reason together. I've asked this question a lot of times, and I still ask it in the presence of our audience tonight. Tell me, what good is death? Why does a man have to die to get into the presence of God? Why do you have to put a man in the hole and throw the dirt in his face to please God? What good does it do for a man to die? Why does man die? It doesn't please God for man to die. David of old said, I can't praise thee if I'm in the grave, Lord. Death is not the friend of God. God is not a friend to death. Death is the enemy of God. Jesus was manifested that he might destroy him that had the power over death. Death is God's enemy. That's what the ministry is all about. It's glad tidings of great joy that death is conquered. Hallelujah. That's why they raised the dead, healed the sick, because that was part of the commission, folks. It's dead raising time. How do you know it's dead raising time? Glory to God, it's time that we begin to understand that death is the enemy of God, that there's a generation that's got to come to the knowledge that God doesn't want them to die. Why did Adam die? Because the word said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the word controls everything, because everything's created by the word and everything orbits around the word. Isn't that right? And ever since then, man and Adam and his descendants died. Isn't that right? But then came the word again one day, and the word said, he that heareth me, Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on me, he's passed from death unto life. He shall never come into condemnation. Amen. The word came to change that thing. I am going to Calvary. I'm going to change it. But you say, but Brother Pike, you can't live in this world and be eternal. But look at Jesus. Look at Jesus now. Now look at Jesus for a moment. Here he starts from the manger all the way to Calvary. He goes step by step by step. Are you listening now? Jesus all the way from the manger going to Calvary. What is he doing? The same Jesus from a child, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. He grew in wisdom. He developed just like I developed. He grew into manhood just like I'm growing. He grew with favor and man and God, increased in stature and wisdom. He made a discovery. What was the discovery? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That intermotion kind of God that revealed itself from within, that he was eternal. Now listen, they started to stone Jesus to death. He said, "For what good work do you stone me?" Said, "We don't stone you for a good work." He said, "Well, why do you stone me?" Said, "You being a man, make yourself God." Now listen. Said, "You ain't nothing but a man. And you stand there and make yourself God." I hope you don't have any rocks tonight. I hope you don't have no rocks tonight. Like the song said, be careful of the stones that you throw. I hope you ain't got no rocks tonight. Jesus said, "You being a man, you make yourself God." Jesus said, "Because I say I'm the Son of God." Oh, he said to them, he said, "Abraham knows about me." Why, you're not yet 50 years old. And you say, "Abraham's acquainted with you?" Why, he said, "I'll tell you something." He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Hallelujah. Abraham saw my day, rejoiced to see it, and was glad. Under the oak of Mamre, there he visited with Abraham and stood at Sodom and Gomorrah. And brother Abraham looked at God and said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Hallelujah. Said, me and Abraham had a conversation. The Bible said they took up stones to stone him. Jesus said, "Why stone me? Is it not written in the scriptures that I have called ye gods?" That I've called ye gods? I said, "God, where is the scripture at?" And I thumbed through the pages. I started looking. I said, "Glory to God, it's got to be somewhere." And there it was. I got back there in the Old Testament, and there it was. And I heard the Spirit say, "Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. From the lack of knowledge, ye shall die like men. Not knowing that you're gods, you're numbered with men. And you're believing in the wrong direction. When you don't have to die, gods cannot die." Did you know that gods are eternal? You say, "But Brother Pike, even Jesus had to die." Look at it. Jesus walked up on the mount, stood there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't die to get into glory. Folks, you don't have to die to get into heaven. You don't have to die to get into glory. Death has nothing to do with the entrance into God. He finished his course. He walked up that mountain. He walked right into the glory of God, into where Elijah was and where Moses was. And the Bible said his raiment glistened. Now listen. And then he stepped right back out. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." And there he came again. Who was he? That man called Jesus. That man called Jesus. And they could walk up and feel of him. And you know, and say, Peter could have said, "My, look, I just saw you in heaven a while ago, over here in glory a while ago. Are you real? Are you real?" "Yep, this is me." "You love the Lord?" There he was, my brother, sister. Can we have access to that world in this world? Somebody would say, "Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." I know that, and I'm glad you understand that it's an inheritance. I'm glad that it's something that you receive in your heart. It's something that you inherit. How do you know the Bible said that the light shined in darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it? They said over there, said this great light came into the world, the light of the world, said it shined, and the intellectual mind being darkness couldn't figure the thing out. Isn't that right? PhDs and educations, everything, they couldn't get a hold of it. The darkness couldn't figure it out. It shined in the darkness, but the darkness didn't have the power of comprehension. But the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus," the mind of God. He was made in the form of God, therefore he thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. For the Bible said, "Everyone that be perfect shall be as their master. No man shall be above their master." But if you're a son of God, does that make you like your master? If you're a son of a dog, if you could use the title, son, if you was a dog of a dog, Speaking to the male species. If you were the son of a dog, wouldn't you be equal to a dog? How do you know if you're the son of an elephant, you'd be an elephant? Are you listening? If you was the son of a tiger, you'd be a tiger. Are you listening? A son of a giraffe, you'd be a giraffe. And if you're a son of a God, then what are you? If you are a son of God, then what are you? Somebody tell me. I said if a son of an elephant is an elephant, then what does that make a son of God? How do you believe you're sons of God? Let me see your hand. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? The Bible said. Already you're the sons of God. Now you're the sons of God. It does not yet appear what ye shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. And what is the son of God? It is a God. That's why Jesus said, you're gods. That's why they wanted to stone Jesus. He said, I'm a son of God. They said, you make yourself a God. Equal to God because you call yourself a son of God. That makes you a God. Brother, I'll tell you what, they'll stone you today too. They'll stone you today. Did you know that? You say, who'll do that, Brother Pike? And I'm going to have to close because I sure can feel the preacher coming on. I can feel him. You say, who's going to do that? There's one thing for sure, they that do it won't be sons of God. They that do it won't be sons of God. Maybe tomorrow night, if the Lord is willing and nothing happens, and if we can pick up right along here somewhere, we can explain just a little bit about the ones that's going to be upset about it. And we can look at the other side of the picture and we can see what it's like. You love Jesus? I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. If a man believe on me, he don't have to die. He don't have to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. Though Lazarus is asleep, I'm going to go wake him. And behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to take a nap. Just them that sleep, not us. We're not sleepy. We're not children of the darkness. We're not children of the night. We're not sleepy. We're children of the day. We're busy. We're wide awake. We have to be about our Father's business. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You're a wonderful audience. Let's stand together tonight, can you? You know, every time I take a drink of water, I think about that man that was in the flames of the fire. I think about him. And when I think about him, I'm so glad that I'm over here where I can get a drink of water. I'm so glad that I'm over here where I can get a drink of water, ain't you? Just a little swallow of water. I'm so thankful. I want to say again, I appreciate my lovely audience tonight. I thank God for every one of you, for the wonderful spirit, the attitude that you've had, that you've shown. I think it's wonderful. And if you believe, then you can receive the wonderful things of God. If you believe, you can receive the wonderful things of God. Something is about to happen. And we are about to be translated. You believe it? There's a whole lot more to it already than you could ever dream. It's not near so far away. Jesus told a man one time, just because he was thinking right, he said, I believe you're the Son of God. He was thinking right. Jesus said, well, said, you're not too far from the kingdom. You just keep on thinking right now. Keep on thinking right, casting down our imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Keep on thinking right now. Keep on thinking right, since you're not far from the kingdom. Just keep on thinking right. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Our eyes play tricks on us, don't it, folks? Scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, and we place so much emphasis on those little old nerves that if all of a sudden they was to fail us, we'd be in a terrible fix, wouldn't we? Everything that we have depends on sin, because man looks on the outward appearance. But I tell you, where it's all at is in your thinking. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That's where it's all at. It's in your thinking. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together tonight, can we?
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, in Jesus I am safe evermore. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. Will you do that? Folks, it's been a dark night. It's been a long, dark night. A dark night. But the light is beginning to show through. For the Bible said the darkness couldn't comprehend that light. They didn't have the right mind to comprehend that light. But you got the minds of the Lord. You're children of the light now. It's been a long, dark night. But the Bible said at the evening time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light. For there shall be light in the evening time. And the evening time has come around. And the light is beginning to shine. And the light is beginning to shine. Hallelujah. This is the most glorious moment that's ever been given to mankind. I know it's a day of oppression. It's a day of confusion. It's a day of frustration. But it's the most glorious moment that's ever been given to mankind. Have you prepared yourself for this moment? Have you been searching? Have you been seeking? The Bible said, he that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. And everyone that asketh receiveth. Have you been preparing yourself? Have you been asking of God? Have you been calling on the name of Jesus? Have you been asking the Lord to use you in this end time move? Save you in this end time move? Give you the blessings of God in this end time move? God wants to do something for you tonight. God wants to do something for you. Last night, we was praying for some people here, and I believe that God healed those people. I prayed for a boy over here last night. He come from Macon, Georgia to be prayed for. And I prayed for him, and while I was praying, all of a sudden I felt something happen. And I felt that yoke break off of him, and the tears filled his eyes. And I told him, I said, God just set you free. I said, God just set you free. God just healed you. God just set you free. And the little girl that come up here last night, her mother having weighed about 60 pounds, dying, and the doctors couldn't do anything for her. And when they come to us and they told us about it, and I was praying, and God said to me, he said, I've healed the girl. I said, go back and tell her she's healed. I said, it's for sure. No make-believe about it. He said, she's healed. And to come back last night and said she's gained up to 80 pounds and she's doing fine, and she got to where she could come to church regular, and she was down there shouting and praising God the other night. And last night her little daughter come up here, and her little daughter had been 3 days without food. She stood up here last night fasting 3 days without food. Last night she was up here.
You love Jesus? God doing some wonderful things, folks. God doing some wonderful things. Tonight, while they're playing on the organ, while they're singing, I want you to step out and come down here with me tonight. And I want you to just step out and gather around here like you did last night. I want you to do that for me. Just come down here. I want you to step down here.
Rest and bed.
I want you to stand around the altar with me tonight.
Of lost sinners.
And I want to reason with you just a little bit. Jesus loves you tonight.
So I'll check.
Jesus loves you tonight.
The old
Jesus loves you tonight. He died to save you.
Until
he cares for you tonight. He cares for you tonight. He died to save you. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be lost. Jesus loves you. Do you believe Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you, brother. He's wonderful. God is so good. I'm glad I'm acquainted with Jesus. I'm glad that I'm acquainted with Jesus tonight. I'm glad, Ed, that I know Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be a Christian, to know about the Savior. Brother Shivers, it's good to be a Christian. It's so wonderful to know Jesus, to love Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I appreciate our friend being with us tonight that was carrying the banner through the elements, Brother Werdeman. Glad that he's with us tonight, brother. It's a privilege to have you here tonight. Appreciate having Jerry here with us tonight. The others, it's so good to have you here. Glad to have our brothers here. I don't seem like I've seen him somewhere, but I can't. What's your name, brother? You're with Brother Walden. I thought I'd seen you somewhere, but I couldn't place you. It's a real privilege, brother, to have you here with us tonight. Praise God. Appreciate these two brothers being here tonight. It's good to have Jimmy here with us tonight. Jimmy, hadn't you rather fight for God than to box for the devil? Praise God. I want you to close your eyes with me. Will you do that tonight? Something great and mighty is happening, folks. Something great and mighty is happening. I discovered it. Have you discovered it? I've discovered it. I tell you the truth before God and lie not. My conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I've discovered it. I've discovered it. Have you discovered it? God wants you to discover it. He wants you to know about it. He wants you to know about it. He wants you to know about it. He that seeketh findeth, to him knocketh, it's open. Hallelujah. It's such a privilege to have our brother Paul with us tonight. Oh, we appreciate so much having you here with us tonight. You amaze me. Your age and strength, God has been so good to you. So good to you. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful to have this man here with us tonight. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Will you do it for me? Will you do that? Hallelujah. Brother Lynn, he loves us tonight. He loves us tonight. Praise God. He loves us tonight. Can you think on that tonight? Jesus loves you. You know the devil would love for you to believe that Jesus doesn't love you. Isn't that right? He'd like for you to think that Jesus doesn't love you, but Jesus loves you tonight. I want you to really think on that. Jesus loves you tonight. He loves you. You know, if you ever get healed, you've got to believe that God loves you. How can you ever get healed if you don't believe that God loves you? Faith worketh by love. Isn't that right? Faith worketh by love. The love of God works faith. And you got to believe tonight that Jesus loves you. You've got to get the love of God in your heart tonight to set your faith on fire. And if you'll begin to believe that God loves you tonight, and you'll begin to love one another tonight, brother, your faith will literally be set on fire. And the Bible said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask anything that you will, and I will do it for you. Anything that you will, you just ask it and I will do it. And brother, I believe every word of that tonight. I believe it tonight. I believe it tonight. Now maybe there's somebody here tonight. There was a number of people last night that want to be prayed for. And I prayed for one or two of them, but I didn't take much time with them. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that would like for us to pray for you. If so, if you come up here on the platform, I'll be glad to pray for you. Now, we've been taking some telephone calls. There have been quite a number of telephone calls just coming in from different places. One came in from Florida, I believe, tonight. Different calls coming in that wants prayer, wants us to pray for them. And we're praying for them, and we're getting some wonderful results, and we're getting some wonderful reports. God is doing something. The sister that had the severe heart attack the other night, God has undertaken, and she's so much better. The sister that had the severe headache, when we got through praying, she said, right now. I said, you should feel better right now. She said, 3 weeks my head is hurt. I said, it should feel better right now. She said, it does. It does. It does. She said, I feel better right now. I said, has it lifted? She said, yes. Said, I feel better now. Said, I feel the pressure gone. I feel it gone. I feel better. I feel healed. I said, do you believe God healed you? I believe God healed you. She said, yes, I believe God healed you. You believe God's a healer tonight? If you want to be prayed for tonight, we'll tarry just a few minutes tonight. We'll pray for you if you come up here. There's a number of you that I know that would like to be prayed for, and we'll tarry just a few minutes. You come up here and we'll pray for you. You love Jesus? I see these women in these long dresses. And it really thrills my heart to see women begin to dress like ladies again. You know, through the world, we've hardly got any ladies anymore. We just got women. We used to have ladies. And it thrills my heart. You know, we have people that come out of state from different places. Baptist people. People that's not partakers of our ministry so far as being part of us. But they hear about the long dresses and they hear about the ministry. And they come here dressed in long dresses because they want to dress right. And they want to learn about why we're doing these things. Folks, there is a reason why that we do these things and preach these things and believe these things. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why people don't do these things. But I tell you what, the vision that I saw a vision, and when I saw the vision, I saw in the vision, God put a rod in my hand. And in my hand, I stood there with this rod in my hand. I stood there and I spoke in the name of the Lord 3 different times. And the first time I spoke and the rod went forth, I looked and people were dressed in mini skirts. I got all tore up and I said, God, that's indecent. I don't want that. And the voice said, speak again. I took the rod and I spoke again and I done like that and I looked and they were in mini skirts. I said, God, that's better, but that's not what it should be. And the Lord said, speak again. And I done like that and I said, in the name of the Lord. And I looked and they had on the great maxi skirts. And the Lord told me later, said, the church is now fully clothed. There is a message in the world today, and the bride is fully clothed, and there's a people that's going to be clothed with the knowledge of God. And these women that's putting on the long dresses represents the moment and the hour of it here, and God is about to translate the church. And I looked, and then I saw a downpour. I saw water begin to pour. I lifted up my hand with the rod and I said, rain, rain, rain. And it looked like God began to empty it out, but the bucket's full. Hallelujah. I'll give you the form and the latter rain in the same season.
I will.
Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Praise God. Lift your hands one more time with me.
I will give with my robe.
Lord, I pray for these people.
I will.
And if there's any other that would like to be prayed for, if you come up here, we'll pray for you. While I pray for these people, I want you to stretch out your hand.
Yes, I'll be.
There's a sister standing here
listening
that's had cancer. And as far as I know, she was supposed to die. But she put her faith in God. She's been going strong, working on her job, praising God, traveling all over the country to meetings, still standing strong and healthy in God tonight by faith. And she's still living right on. Still living right on. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? God can help you, folks. While we were in the Indiana meeting, we were praying for the sick, and God began to heal some people. And this young woman must have been in her 30s as she come across the ramp. I felt God heal her. And I said, go back to the doctor and let the doctor check you, because I felt God heal you. She said, I've got cancer, had cancer for 2 years and haven't had a peaceful night in many weeks or months. I said, go back and let them check you in that you're under the doctor's care. I said, God healed you. She went back and they checked her and they put the x-rays on her and they said they could not find a trace of cancer. She was completely healed. They couldn't find a trace of cancer, and she come back and testified. She told the doctor, said, God has healed me, and she come back and testified. And she said, I got my first peaceful night's sleep. The first peaceful night's sleep that I've had in weeks or months. God can do it. God can do it. I remember the time when we went into the hospital and prayed for a person that had TB, had pipes all in them, dying. They wouldn't even let us go into the room, just into the hospital, to the door. And I walked to the door and I saw a pitiful sight. Her husband had asked me to go there and pray, or her minister. And the husband had been crying because his wife was dying. And we looked in. As I looked in and saw it, it was such a pitiful thing when I saw the sister. But the Holy Ghost come upon me. And when the Holy Ghost come upon me, I looked through the door and I said, sister, I want you to believe, because God's going to heal you. As I stand right here at this door, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to heal you. I started praying for him. I said, God healed you. I felt God heal you. Within a few days, we went back to check on her. She was sitting over in the chair. She said, Brother Pike, no more tubes, no more pain, no more TB. Said, they're releasing me. Said, God, heal me. Her husband weeping and crying, saying, I thank you, Brother Pike. I thank you, Brother Pike. I said, I didn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. She just reached up in faith and took hold of God, and God healed her, and she's whole. I said, you need to praise God and give God glory. He had mercy on you. He had mercy on you. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? When the sister had the heart attack the other day, and we come up Highway 20, it had to be the hand of God. Because we could have been anywhere. It was miles from there back home and miles on up here to this arena. But God had us to come by her car at the very minute that she had the heart attack. And we jumped out, and her faith was encouraged, and she touched God, and God caused her to survive. The hand of God, the mercy of God. God is good, isn't that right? God is so good. He's so wonderful. Brother Floyd sitting over there tonight remembers when his dad was dying with cancer. And they said he was eat up with cancer all the way down. And we went over that night. They didn't even want to let us go in the room, but we went in. Finally got in, and I walked into the room, and he was crying. Couldn't eat, couldn't keep nothing down.
But when I walked in, I felt the room become illuminated. Have you ever felt the room around you become illuminated? I felt the room become illuminated, and I said, my God, God's in here. I said, brother, I don't know what's wrong with you as far as the condition, other than I understand you got cancer. I said, but God is going to heal you right now. I said, do you believe that? And it swept over him. And he said, I believe it. And God healed him. And I believe it was the next day he got up. And then after that, he left the hospital. And as far as I know, there was never no more cancer after that. As far as I know, is that right, Floyd? There was no more cancer after that. God is a healer. God is a deliverer. God has done so many wonderful things for us in the past. He's still doing things for us right now. Even in the areas of Monroe, numbers of people in the hospital have sent for prayer that was in a dying condition in intensive care, and God healed them. A boy that had spinal meningitis not too long ago that was in the hospital, and the boy was in a dying condition while I was in my little bus going down the road. I prayed for him. I went into the back of the bus and I prayed and I said, God, heal him. I want you to heal him. I want you to do something for him. And all of a sudden, the power of God came down and I heard something say, he's healed. I told my wife, I went back to the front, I said, it's all right, he's healed. In a few days, they released him from the hospital. He was completely healed. You love Jesus? God is real. Just one or two of the many, many, many cases that I've seen healed in our ministry and other people's ministry. God wants to heal you tonight. There's some of you that's dying tonight and don't know it. Did you know that? You're dying and don't know it. There's some of you that's got diseases in your body and you're dying and you don't know it. And it'll show up after a while. It'll show up after a while. So you need to get a hold of faith. You need to get a hold of faith. You need to get a hold of faith. A lot of people just staggering along, going down the trail of life, eating, drinking, merry, having a good time, feel good and solid. They don't feel like nothing's wrong with them, but they're dying. All of a sudden, they discover that there's a disease and that they are dying. They should have walked with God. They should have prayed. They should have fasted. They should have had faith in God. They should have been cleansing their system. They should have put sin away from them so that they could have had their healing. Isn't that right? I preached last night and I mentioned about Asa being smitten in his feet. He sought the physicians rather than God, and the Bible said he died. If he had sought God, he'd have been living yet. For if you abide in me, my word in you, you ask what you will, I'll do it. All right, I want you to just put your hands up in this direction. Will you do it, folks? As we pray, can you sisters come over here just a little farther? Just come over this way just a little bit farther. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, as I pray for this sister, Lord, she's been patient. She's been with us a good long while. And oh, dear God, I feel faith right now. Oh, dear God of heaven, she's waiting in faith. And I feel you healing her right now. I feel the power of God healing her right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
And now,
hallelujah.
I know,
hallelujah.
He touched me.
He did, sister. He sure did. Praise him. Praise him. He sure did. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this little sister. Father, heal her body tonight. Give her the desire of her heart. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. Whatever her desire is tonight, help her to believe in Jesus' name, Father. Touch her. Oh, God, touch her. Oh, I feel you touching her now, Jesus. I feel you touching her right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel a little sister. I feel him touching you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this body. Lord, this sister's been sick, but I pray that you touch her. Heal her body. Make her strong and well, Jesus. Oh, great God. Heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, heal tonight. I feel your healing tonight. For thou art a healing God. Heal in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, touch this sister tonight. Heal. Give them a testimony of faith. Father, the elders obtained a good report by faith. And Father, tonight, let these women obtain a good report by faith tonight. Help them to believe in the power of the living God tonight and in the faith of Christ. Heal. I feel your healing now. Oh, yes, Jesus. Move this faith. Restore this faith. Strengthen this faith. Help this sister to believe. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's name tonight, Father. Father, touch the sister in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord God of heaven, she's been through the fire with many things. But God, heal her tonight. Lord, touch her faith tonight. Elevate her faith tonight. I feel you healing in the name of Jesus. I feel God healing tonight, Sister Cook. God, in the name of Jesus, heal this body. Eradicate everything from this body that's unlike thee, Father, every disease. Father, let there not be one trace of anything found in this body. May there be healing in the name of the Son of God. Heal right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel God healing tonight. Father, heal this sister tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that you touch this sister and heal her body tonight. Father, may she be healed completely tonight. May your spirit come upon her and heal her body in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. Father, touch this little sister tonight. Touch her body. Heal her body tonight in the wonderful name of the Son of God. May your spirit come down upon her and heal her tonight. And oh God, touch this little sister in Jesus' name. May the blessings of God be here that even these children can feel your presence. Father, to heal as you stir faith in the name of the Son of God tonight. I feel the Lord blessing tonight. Do you feel God blessing tonight? If you feel God blessing tonight, lift your hands up and let's love Jesus. If you feel God blessing tonight, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to touch this sister, Father. Lord, heal this body. Free this faith, Father. Oh, dear God, make a way for this sister. Dear God, as she trusted, as she believes in the name of Jesus. I feel him doing it, sister. Hallelujah. I feel the wonderful presence of God. Praise God. I feel the wonderful presence of God. You love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. I want you to sing this little chorus with me tonight. Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? Oh, somebody needs their healing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs their healing, Lord. Come by here. Somebody needs healing, Lord. Come by here. Oh, sweet Jesus, won't you come by here? Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Don't you feel the presence of Jesus tonight? Ain't you glad you're Christian tonight? Let's give God a hand tonight, can we? The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all of you people, and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God wants you to praise him tonight in song. Praise him tonight upon the 10-string instrument. Praise God tonight with all of your mind, heart, soul, body, strength. Love God with all of your strength. Hallelujah. Put your strength into your praise tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's like when men are wrestling. They wrestle. They have to put all of their strength into it. And the Bible said we wrestle against principalities, powers, and evils, wickedness in high places. Put all of your strength into it. All of your mind into it. Love God with your strength. Love God with your mind. Put everything you got into it tonight to love Jesus. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. One more time now. Let's close our eyes together. Let's just lift our hands up. Take just another minute or two here tonight. It's been a privilege to preach the word tonight. And there are people here tonight that need God. There's people that need the touch from God. There are people that are diligently searching. They're seeking. They're asking for a word from God. Should we believe? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. If tonight, if we would just take our time tonight If we could just believe tonight, if we could just settle down in the great Holy Spirit tonight, oh, what He would say to us tonight, beloved friend. What He would do for us tonight. Hallelujah. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. You know, you never know. You never know what good you can do. Betty and I, on our trip just recently, going down into Old Mexico and into California, we stopped along the wayside, and there was a person hitchhiking along the wayside, many, many miles from here, hundreds of miles from here. But we took time to stop and pick them up and help them a little bit and show them the love of God and show them the kindness of God. And that person is sitting in here in the arena tonight. Tonight, that person is here in the arena tonight. Because we showed them a little love, their path, through their pathway led back to where we were at. And tonight they're sitting here. A little love of God. You never know, folks. You never know. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. While you've got your hands up tonight and your eyes closed tonight, I want you to search your heart now. Search your heart. The end of the world is drawing nigh. Search your heart. Search your heart. Every night that you come out, search your heart. Search your heart. When we're here tomorrow night, I want you to search your heart. I want you to search your heart. While we come, night after night, I want you to search your heart. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if your confidence is in the Word of God tonight. See if your confidence is in some idea. See if your confidence is something you heard. See if it's in some kind of a legendary thing that's followed down through the generations. See if you've got your faith in the real Word of God. Are you believing the Word of God? Are you believing the Word of God? Are you confiding in the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? Is your faith in the Word of God? Brother, sister, there's no faith outside of the Word of God. Faith is by the hearing of the Word. If you believe something and it's not the Word of God, you cannot be saved. That's vain believing. That's a vain vision. But to believe the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. In the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But tonight we can trust in the Word of God. We can believe in the Word of God. We can look to the Word of God. We can go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we can win people to the Word of God. Oh, tonight, is your confidence in the Word of God? Do you know the Word of God? Are you confiding in the Word of God? Are you conforming to the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Oh, hallelujah, when I think about the Word of God. How beautiful the words of life. My words of spirit. And they are alive. The Word of God. The lovely Word of God. Jesus. The Word of God. I want to pray with you tonight. I want to pray with you tonight. I just want you to close your eyes. Lift your hands. And I want you to believe. Now look. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. When you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, He said, forgive it. Forgive. Forgive. For if you don't forgive your fellow man their trespasses from your heart, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Forgive from your heart. Forgive. And Jesus said, then when you pray, believe. Believe. If you desire anything, believe that you have it, and you shall have it. It doesn't do any good to pray if you don't believe. When you call on the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe tonight. Believe tonight. Believe. When you call on the name of the Lord and ask Him forgiveness of sin, believe that He's forgiven your sins. Believe in Jesus tonight. Believe. If you desire anything in the way of healing, deliverance, if you desire a financial blessing, if you've got to have a financial blessing to be able to keep afloat in this life, God said, I'll supply all of your needs. I've given you all things that pertain unto life. Everything, happiness, peace, financial blessings, everything. David said, I beseech thee, O God, send prosperity. He'll send you prosperity. He'll send you health. He'll send you happiness. What a wonderful God. He'll give you everything that you desire. Decree a thing in your heart and it'll come to pass. Just decree it in your heart. Just decree it in your heart. Just decree it in your heart. Just say, God, it's going to be that way and it ain't going to be no other way. It ain't going to be no other way. No other way. It's going to be that way. I had somebody to come and testify today. They said, you know, you told me something. Said, I tried to do it. I couldn't do it. Everything was cut off. Said, I made up my mind. I decreed it in my heart. I said, it's going to be that way. It's going to be that way. I'm going to do it. He said, it didn't happen. And I'm the least. He said, the least person I expected to do it was the one that worked it out for me. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? I want to pray with you. I want to stand with you tonight. I want to unite my faith with you tonight. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. So if there's 10,000 devils bothering you tonight, I want to put my faith with you. And we want to put 10,000 devils to flight. And if we've got all these people here tonight united together in faith, we ought to could put hundreds of thousands to flight. Let's just unite together and pray. Can we do that now? Can we do that? I want you to pray with me tonight. Hallelujah. While we pray, I want Brother Tony Mullis to come up here. Will you come up here, Tony? I want us to pray together now. I want us to pray together. Hallelujah. Praise God. You feel good, Tony? Let's just pray together now. Tony's going to pray with us. And I want you to pray tonight. I want you to pray tonight. I'm going to stand right here and pray with him as he prays. And Tony's going to dismiss us tonight. Is that all right? All right, close your eyes, lift your hands as Tony prays with us.